Welcome back to the Georgia 2024 show. Well, a lot going on. Bill and I are one-arm paper hangers behind the scenes, putting all this stuff together. Thanks, Bill, for coming on.
You bet. You bet. I'm glad we're together. We got so much going on. We need multiple sets of hands for all this stuff.
Yeah, the CDM team is growing as well as our offerings. Stay tuned for some big announcements over the next few weeks. CDM is a network. We're a global network. One of the things you can count on is if you get up at 7 a.m. or earlier sometimes, we have content from across the world because we have reporters on the ground in Eastern Europe, in Israel, et cetera, that are sending us, feeding us information. So typically we're not always, but a lot of the times ahead of the curve on what's happening, important stuff that's happening. We need to grow so we can do more reporting, but we get the importance. We kind of prioritize, triage the stories and get them out. But we are global. We're the new wire service without the globalist spin. And we intend to keep growing and getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And some big announcements coming. We're going to add some more video content. That'll be show content. So look for those announcements. I'm really excited about it. This show is brought to you by the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. Thank you for all the support we've had out there. And sign up for our no-ad subscriptions, please. It is $10 a month or $100 a year. It really supports us. And you get ads, or you get content across our entire network with no ads. And we find a lot of people love that. They love to pop in their phone, sign in, visit any of our sites, and go all around the network with no ads popping up. So we appreciate that. And thanks for your help. Sign up for our social media. CDM1 is our Rumble channel. That's growing again nicely after we kind of put it out there. For some reason, we hadn't grown in a year. And all of a sudden, we grow 300 in a week or two, Bill. It's kind of funny, isn't it?
It is funny.
We're growing on X as well. This show is streaming across multiple different syndicate platforms, Frank Speech, Caravan to Midnight, Conservative Daily, and others. And that list will be growing very soon, we hope, as well. Another big announcement coming. Bill, what does the show look like today?
So we're going to talk about many people have had some events going on in Aurora, Colorado, hit their radar in the last 72 hours. We'll go through the facts surrounding that, but we believe that there's more implications to this for other areas of the country and potentially even right here in Georgia, we suspect. So we're not going to go get out over our skis, but we do want folks to be aware of the facts here, the parties that seem to be involved. And we're going to go through some videos that demonstrate what we are observing. We hope to hear from General Vallely, who has been a frequent guest of the show. He has consistently talked about the need to keep eyes on with regard to the immigration crisis and the potentials for that. And so we hope that he will be able to join us. We'll also have Brian K. Pritchard on to talk about some things right here in Georgia regarding the state election board. And the interesting observations regarding what's going on with Kamala, her campaign, and some supporters, but some not necessarily supporters in her own potential ranks. So there's odd things there. And we might even sneak in a couple extras before we're done with the show. So yes. There we are.
General Vallely is, I'm not sure we're on the same page. He may or may not show up. If he does, we'll bring him in. But I do want to highlight our show, one of our really popular shows, because it has a more youthful vibe than us old guys, Bill. But the Colorado show.
I don't feel that old today.
The Colorado show is really rocking and rolling. It's on 4 p.m. across our network. And today they're going to have an hour dedicated to this Aurora thing. So you can go to coloradofreepress.com, which is our Colorado paper, if you're out there watching. And that is really growing. You know, at CDM, people ask us, why are you opening in Colorado? That's a communist state. And I said, that's exactly the point. We're running to the sound of the guns, as we have in Connecticut, in New York, and elsewhere, Montana, which has an issue. They're being targeted. And we're just trying to provide free media where we can and where we have networks on the ground. And Colorado is definitely one of those. And Ash Epp is doing a fantastic job, and her partner in crime, Darren, on the show. It's a great show. It's funny. It's just enjoy watching. And all of our shows are on podcast, on all podcast providers. You can always get the audio later. With that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Bill, and then we'll run an ad or two in a minute.
Okay, sounds good. Let's so let's get some stuff under our belt, and then I'm going to show you a couple of the videos we've collected. There is a gang said to be operating in Aurora, but it isn't just Aurora. The name of the gang is Tren de Aragua. It means, in translation, Aragua train. And it stems from the fact that it appears to have grown out of a labor union in Venezuela that was associated with their train system. Americans all across the country are quickly gaining awareness now because of what's now surfaced in Aurora, reports of literally apartment complexes being taken over by armed members of the gang. And it's really escalated in the last 72 hours. Now, what we're going to find today is that this is not the work of the last 72 hours. This has been building for quite some time. And we're going to hear about from the folks there in the area, some residents that have seen this coming and have asked for help and unfortunately have not gotten it. Is this part of the millions of folks that have been coming across the border? The evidence which suggests that it certainly is. Recall that in previous shows, we've shown what happens just before people cross into the U.S. They dump all their ID, they dump everything that says who they are. And so there's really almost zero opportunity to be able to tell who someone is as they cross the border and come into the U.S. Would that help potential criminals or others that may be part of gangs to enter the U.S., with the Border Patrol not able to spot them? Potentially. And this group, Tren de Aragua, is commonly understood to be one of the most dangerous gangs in Latin America. Most people have thought, well, this is really just Venezuela. Well, it started in Venezuela, but we'll show you some information that indicates that this has gone far beyond that now, even in Latin America. Let me stop here. We're going to show you some film taken within Aurora, but also with some characterization of what may be happening there.
Making the rounds online since yesterday shows armed men walking through a building, knocking on doors, then entering an apartment. These men are part of a dangerous Venezuelan gang, and their numbers have been growing steadily because of the crisis at the border.
There have been rumblings of new gang activity in Aurora all summer. Officials have skated around the topic, but now there's video and victims they can't deny.
It's really like being held hostage.
Cindy was a prisoner in her own home. She's lived in this building at 12th and Dallas for years. This summer, when crime got worse, Cindy got cameras. Doorbell video shows a group of armed men forcing their way into her neighbor's home. Another night, her camera outside captured two men approaching a vehicle, guns drawn.
What I am told is that police leadership put it out that no less than like three or four officers could respond to one of these complexes. I now have other property owners, other apartment complexes calling and telling me the same kinds of things.
Food is the biggest commodity over there.
Cindy says she survived the ordeal by staying quiet, giving them food and bed bug spray. Every night, praying she'd hear sirens.
They left us there to die.
In her new home, far away, the peace she feels is fleeting. Because for so many others, she says there is no escape, no solution, and no sign that help will ever come.
The people working to defund the police are the same people bringing in millions of foreigners without any expectation to assimilate. These foreigners are being given money, education, and homes, while tax-paying American citizens are being kicked out of their homes and losing their... The Venezuelan gang violence in Aurora, Colorado is already spilling out to the surrounding suburbs. And Aurora is just one of many. There are hundreds of sanctuary cities, counties, and states, all of which are losing money. And the funds being given out by Homeland Security will not cut it. They will only increase the amount of mouths to feed. As it turns out, the cost of feeding and housing tens of millions of people is unsustainable. And as the money starts to run out, things will get much more dangerous.
So you can see that this problem, one, we're seeing it now in Aurora, but the implications go far beyond one portion of Denver. Aurora is a fairly substantial portion of eastern Denver, and it's broken up into small pieces. One of the most troubling aspects of this It appears that both police and city and potentially state officials have up to now been sort of belittling this and saying, well, there's really not, it doesn't appear to be what we're seeing on television. Here's one quote from the local police spokeswoman as she walks with police through another apartment complex.
And learning from them to find out what exactly is going on. And there's definitely a different picture. I'm not saying that there's not gang members that don't live in this community, but what we're learning out here is that gang members have not taken over this complex. We've really made an effort to the last few.
Right away, you can tell that that's a completely different picture than what we just saw from Ms. Moreno. And we're going to see more from Ms. Moreno in a few minutes. But even the mayor and others have been on video and unfortunately have been seemingly sort of tap dancing around this problem. And we'll see a little bit of that here.
Well, you know, Bill, this is going to escalate. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is going to escalate because what I picked up in that clip you ran is that all these people, the money is going to run out. And so you got in New York, millions of people. And so all these country club communities up in Greenwich, you know, Westport, Fairfield County, those people are coming up there, man, to get your food. I mean, when the stuff runs out in New York City, guess what? Where they're coming.
Yep. And so, we've had guests in everywhere. The past say exactly that, haven't we? I believe it might have been General Villele that brought it up the first time. You know, when it the number of people and their needs, their daily needs, surpass the ability to fund, or if the funding simply goes away, now you're going to be in a survival situation. And you've got these guys that are reportedly breaking into pawn shops, gun shops, and other things are becoming armed. If you notice that last video that we showed, as those people were coming up the stairs, I believe every single one was armed, either with a pistol, or you could see right in center of frame, you could see the guy with a long gun walking into the apartment building and being prepared to threaten someone. These are serious problems, and to your point, they have the potential and may already be escalating when it comes down to, well, we need food, we need gas, we need other things.
The point is, if they're not in your area, they will be.
Right.
When they run out of money, it's just like, you know, when a invading army goes through another country, they spread out and they harvest all the food and everything they can get to feed their logistics train. I mean, that's what's going to happen, in my opinion.
That's right. It has that potential. It certainly does. The key now is for folks to have facts. And if their local officials and state officials won't give them to them, then they need to go to folks like us that will be showing what actually is being recorded. We're not making these videos up. We're not doctoring anything. These are what the people on the ground there are reporting. Some of them victims, some of them observers. I was going to show for just a moment the mayor, and you can kind of see him begin to try to dance around this problem as the newscaster asks him questions.
Very much for coming on with us. It seems it's tough to even get some confirmation of the details of what is going on there. First off, can you confirm whether or not this gang has taken over these buildings there in Aurora?
So there are several buildings actually under the same ownership, out-of-state ownership, that have fallen to these Venezuelan gangs. I'm trying to walk it back and do the investigation as to how there's a concentration of Venezuelans in these three buildings. Somebody put them there and somebody funded it, whether it's federal government or not. We're trying to find out who these gangs apparently are attracted to, where there's a concentration of Venezuelan migrants. And so they've in fact have kind of pushed out the property management through intimidation and then collected the rents. We have now or have had it is ongoing operations with a task force of local law enforcement, state law enforcement partners and federal law enforcement partners to root them out, and arrests have been made, but these operations are still ongoing.
So note that the previous video we showed, the police officer was saying, well, but this apartment complex hasn't been taken over.
Notice the body language of that guy who just spoke? I mean, he didn't want to, he was nervous and not.
Oh, yes. He couldn't get out of sentence.
Not telling the truth, in my opinion.
Yeah, he couldn't get out of sentence. Talked about task forces, talked about, you know, working with law enforcement. Yet that's a completely different story than we heard from the spokesperson for the police.
Yeah.
Again, they seem to be, and this is my opinion, they seem to be keeping this on the down low so that people don't overly panic. Panic is never a good thing, but being well informed is critical, especially when this is going on. I think it's critical for two reasons. One is Aurora doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah.
What's going on there is actually beginning to be seen in other locations. We're going to show some stuff from other incidences with the same gang. But early warning, being able to see the signs early and have folks be aware of it and be able to work with their local law enforcement to prevent it getting from this, you know, to this acute stage we now see in Aurora is probably quite critical.
Let me just say General Vallely's point was that you have to build community and you have to augment the police force and have some kind of community volunteer group that can come to the aid of the police and get deputized to help any kind of situation in your locale. So it's something we had this interview on Armed Forces Press with General Vallely on AFP pods. Back to you.
Very good. So here's one example of previous articles that have called out this same gang, Tren de Aragua. And in the case of New York City, the National Guard was urged to check migrants arriving there for what are identified in many cases as the gang's tattoos. This is very interesting. This happens to be a gentleman purported to be their Colombian leader. Now, again, people associate this with Venezuela, but if you'd noticed in the previous video, it's gone well beyond Venezuela. This gentleman likes to go by the alias Satan. Probably gives you an idea of where these guys think.
Yeah.
Here's some examples of the tattoos. Tattoos have been known for quite some time to be often be used across gangs so that they can identify one another. They also, it's very interesting, the train, remember the name represents Train of Aragua, and clocks. I'm not sure why the clocks are there. But if our listeners have seen this hand sign before, they recognize that that goes hand in hand with this gentleman purporting himself to be, to be using an alias Satan. Most troubling, perhaps, for us here in Georgia is we all know of Lakin Riley's horrific murder at the hands of allegedly at the hands of Jose Ibarra. He and his brother, I think there's now two brothers, perhaps, seem to have links back to this same gang, Tren de Aragua, that has yet to be proven. And of course, the case needs to come to trial. But above that, is this an early warning signal for here in Georgia? We don't know. But the very fact that we're seeing, you know, this report and it's coming from Fox News would lead me to the belief that it requires and suggests more study and, you know, big eyes and big ears here in Georgia. We all saw the folks being trafficked through Hartsfield Airport, discovered by Senator Colton Moore some months ago. And it's been notable to me and many others that we've heard zero about that from our legislators, from our governor, and from most other elected officials.
Or from the Department of Defense.
Or from the Department of Defense. So what does it mean? Who are those people? Are they somehow affiliated in any way? Is that same technique being used to bring members of any gang, but especially this one, into Georgia? We don't know. But I think it bears study as we go forward. There was a very interesting report from CNN that fleshes this out a bit more, and I think it bears worth to take a look at a portion of that. just to see what they had to say about this same gang.
Authorities are warning that a ruthless criminal gang from Venezuela has now infiltrated the U.S.
Yeah, Tren Daragua is accused of a string of seemingly unrelated crimes, from an alleged multi-state human trafficking ring to the mysterious murder of a former police officer in Miami. Let's bring in CNN's Rafael Romo. Rafael, this is a gang that originated in a Venezuelan prison.
That's right, Boris and Brianna. That's the most amazing thing. And that seemed to be their center of operation and operations. And we already knew Tren de Aragua had spread its tentacles across South America. In the last several months, we investigated cases here in the United States that have all the markings of the gang. And now federal and local law enforcement, members of Congress, and immigrants are all telling us the same thing. The gang is now here in the country, and it poses a serious threat.
So, again, folks are seeing this in Aurora, but we now, as you go deeper into what's already been reported, some cases months ago, you're hearing that they may be in many areas around the country and in fact, have been discovered in New York. I had a direct source come forward this afternoon regarding Chicago earlier today, and we don't know how many other places, but they appear to use many of the same techniques and skills, I guess if you want to call them that were used in building and in expanding the organization in Latin America. They have a tendency to begin by preying on the Latin community. They blend into the Latin community. Very difficult to see, you know, what they're doing until things become acute. And I'll just underscores why it's so important to get eyes on this early, so that if they are operating nearby or in Georgia, we have a chance to see them.
Bill, sorry to interrupt you. We may be getting General Vallely here shortly, but why don't we run a couple ads, pay some bills, and then come back and see where we are. Does that work for you?
Very good.
Okay, here we go.
Pandemic, we can never be caught unprepared again. And so many Americans, when COVID hit, they had nothing in the house. Stores were shut down and doctor's offices were shut down. And even if doctors prescribed drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, pharmacists wouldn't fill the prescriptions. That was a nightmare.
Now the situation is much worse. We have these horrible supply chain problems. In our emergency medical kit at the wellness company, we have 8 prescription drugs that are all potentially life-saving.
Most people have died with COVID. They died in the hospital because they didn't receive early treatment.
Every American family should have one of these.
I can tell you the wellness company kit is the answer.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to bring in General Vallely.
Okay, please do.
Sir, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry about the mix-up.
No worries. So we were talking about this new Venezuelan gang in Colorado, but it's not just Colorado. It's everywhere. What does your intel network say about this?
Well, I mean, when you let these people come across the border illegally, this is what's going to happen, because they have, like Venezuela, they release them from their jails in prison, the same way in some other countries down there. So when that happens, and you don't track them, don't keep them out, but you don't track them, then they infiltrate into these cities in gangs, and they have prior knowledge of each other. So they link up, for example, in San Francisco, L.A., or like they're doing now in Aurora. Question is, where are they getting their weapons? They had pistols, they had ARs, and so on. And on the film that I saw in Aurora, Colorado, when they entered that apartment complex and basically took over that apartment. So, this is where it comes to local authority. The sheriffs and police need to clamp down right away and arrest these people. Then they need to be extradited or put in prison. But we can't afford to put them all in prison. There's so many of them now. We got to send them back.
Yeah. Yep. General, there seems to be videos now surfacing that show these same individuals knocking over pawn shops, knocking over gun stores, knocking over other types of stores too. And that may be where some of these guns are coming from. There was also a very specific report of a gentleman apparently disappearing from his apartment in one of these complexes. And when the police went in to try to find him in his apartment, they found a large cache of weapons, I think ammo, and in cans of gasoline for reasons that are potentially unknown. Mm-hmm. All of which, you know, portends bad things. We're very interested here in Georgia because the Lakin Riley, who was brutally murdered here in UGA, her assailant or alleged assailant, I should say, Jose Ibarra, perhaps, and his brother or brothers appears to be associated with this same gang. Mm-hmm. I think you had mentioned in previous interviews that we're seeing this, but we're maybe not identifying it as perhaps the same gang or the same dynamic in other cities. Are you still seeing that, or are people coming awake to what we're dealing with here?
Well, they've been able to, and getting funding, by the way, they have money, so perhaps they can buy some of these guns in the black market. I'm sure that's what's happening to some degree, because they are being funded, supported by the cartels. So as they infiltrate into the different cities, they link up. And when we were interviewed earlier, I told everybody about the Club K system, which the Iranians have, which is basically a container that can come through our ports, and the ports aren't examining all of the materials that might be in a container. But the Club K system, basically you take that container, put it on an 18-wheeler, take it to L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, wherever, and unpack that crate. And then the teams are directed to go pick it up, and then they go to pre-designated places. That's how organized they are now. So we have major, major problems coming through our ports as well as coming across the border, where they link up the equipment with the people. And we know with 30,000-40,000 Chinese, the Chinese have paid to have their agents come in. They fly them into Tijuana, then they come across the border in California. And they're not tracking them at all, as far as I know. And so now we have thousands out there. They're not all criminals. They're not all gang members, but certainly a great percentage is.
Sir, what is, we've talked about this before, but please give us a 30,000-foot overview. If you're in a community, how could you go to your sheriff or local police and try to build some resistance to what may be coming?
Well, great question. We analyze this at the local level. We really don't see the militias out there being effective or organized at the state level as they were previously, and then authorized under our constitution. So we've recommended that the counties, 3,200 plus that we have in America, form the Patriot Guards, which then would work with the sheriffs, augment the sheriffs, because the sheriffs, you know, can deputize as many people as they want to. And so at that local level is where this criminality is taking place, just like Aurora. And so we have a lot of veterans from the police forces, the state police, National Guard, reserves, active duty, that can be the basis for the formation of the Patriot Guard units that can be available to the sheriffs. We need to do that because we are infiltrated in not all the counties, but I'm sure many of them now, if we would add them all up. So that's important that we have security at the local level, because the police can't handle it. They don't have the budget to hire a lot more people that have been let off or released. Recruiting's down in police and in the sheriff's department, as you know. And so that's another grave concern. So that's why we need the local patriots and individuals in these communities to stand up and make sure that we can defend our citizens and our property.
So if there's, for instance, you know, a bunch of gang members get off a train in a community or whatever, you can have 25, 30 guys that can show up and protect somewhere or whatever the sheriffs want them to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this happened actually in Coeur d'Alene 2 years ago when Antifa was going to go through in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and they caught word of it, Coeur d'Alene. They got them. They ran them out of town in 1 hour.
Interesting.
But they formed in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And then we went over to Spokane, Washington, where they have a fairly large concentration of Antifa, BLM, and so on. And they have a formation in Spokane now. So it can be done, but it's got to be done at the local level. Someone's got to take charge. Got to be a leader there that can work with the sheriffs and police.
One of the concerning things we've seen is both the police and local and potentially some of the state officials seem to be avoiding admission of the scope of this problem. And so your strategy makes great sense. It does. I think I'm hearing it would rely on the local either sheriffs or others in regular authority to recognize the problem and be willing to accept broader help and consider bringing other people into the initiative. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what we did here in Montana. We've actually had four meetings already. We have probably 1,200 listed that we can actually build, use what we call a muffin. Hold one second. Let me get my wife here. Muffin? Sorry about that. It's a call, it's a call from Florida. So, anyhow... we've had these meetings and we have what I call a QRF, a quick reaction force, Bill, of about 30 to 40 people that are on call. They're listed with their phone number. And if those buses would come in or trains or whatever, bringing these people in, that quick reaction force can be there at the bus station and so on. And basically they're not authorized to arrest. The police can do that, but certainly the police would then be called and the police could do the arresting of these individuals. So this is a reality. We can do this. And I think we need to do it because it's totally getting out of hand.
Sir, I think that's all time we have today. We got some other guests. Bill, did you have anything else?
Sure.
No, that's great. Thank you, General. I believe we're going to be calling you back on the same topic as more and more people understand the depth of the concern.
Thank Glad you, to do it.
Take care. All right. Bill, let's pay some bills real quick before we bring BKP on. David Cross is our financial advisor. If you have a change in life, divorce, death, change in business, inheritance, whatever, you need support and make sure you do the right thing with the money. So give David a call. Can you run his ad, please?
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
And real quick, I just want to say cdmmetals.com. If you have a portfolio that you want to protect, go to cdmmetals.com, talk to Advisor Metals. And Ira Bashotsky will and his team will take care of you. We have done all the research into their background. This is something you really need to think about. A lot of people have their assets in cash and think they're going to be fine. Please talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about and diversify your assets into another store of value besides just the fiat assets, which have nothing behind them. So cdmmetals.com. All right, Bill, back to you.
That's great. All right, let's welcome in Brian K. Pritchard. Mr. Pritchard, thank you for making time to join us this afternoon.
Always, gentlemen. I appreciate you and Todd and what you do. Anytime I'm able to get a chance to be a guest on the show, I always try to make it in early because you guys have such amazing information and great guests that you're talking about in the general. I just really enjoyed that. So I want to say thank you very much. I don't want to start without me personally acknowledging the six dead and the one citizen, 23-year-old Hirsch Goldberg, Poland, that shot in the back of the head over there in Gaza in a tunnel. One of the hostages is very upsetting today. The whole situation is upsetting, but it's very upsetting today. And just another one listening to the general. Listening that young man is killed, just two of the many Kamala Harris administration failures, and so I just wanted to say that before we got started.
You bet. So with what we just got through talking about, we've had our eyes on Aurora, but also trying to get deeper across the country on what's going on with those gangs. In the meantime, we still have things going on here in Georgia. And you on your show, Voice of Rural America, each morning cover what's happening here in Georgia very well. And so we wanted to get your take on a couple of things. The state election board has made some progress, finally, over the last several months or in a number of weeks with the introduction of some new people, so that now they have, some would call it, a majority on the board of potential patriots, as opposed to the way that they were structured before. So now we have Dr. Johnston, we have Ms. King, and Mr. Jeffers. There's some talk that there's now some impediments being placed in their way regarding budgeting and other things. And I wanted to get your take. One, if you could clarify what you see actually happening, because there seems to be confusion online. And two, what do you think people need to know about it? What do you think they need to do about it?
Well, Bill, let's get right into that. If you can do me a favor, keeping the clock, give me about a minute before we close the day. I would like to double back on the gang, the cartel, and some things of that nature. Let me just say this, okay? First of all, let's bring the state election board into perspective for those out there internationally, because I know you have an international audience. If people all around the world follow Georgia, the state legislature here in Georgia separated the state election board out from under the Secretary of State's office, which is Brad Raffensperger. And, you know, it operates within itself. It's no longer beholden to the Secretary of State's office. That was more for show. And let me just be very candid. That was more for show, to get it out from under Brad Raffensperger. So our politicians around the state, our state legislators, could go around and do town halls and say, hey, we're listening. And we got Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, out of the state election board. That got a lot of cheering around the state. That excited people. Then we were able to get some good people appointed to the state election board. As you mentioned, the name started getting it established. 2 years ago, it didn't have a budget. It got a budget last year. So that being said, where you're hearing the budget discussion right now, you got to keep in mind that Georgia's 2024 and 2025 budget, the fiscal year ends June 31st or 30th, and the new 2025 starts on July 1st. Brian Kemp has line item veto power. The governor of Georgia has line item veto power. In the 2024 budget, he reduced it. You will be able to see it originally was $513,018, and he had a line item veto on there and just reduced it back to $489,095. And then this year, which started July 1st, the new budget is $496,811. And what I'm getting at there is that's a reduction of $23,923 from the fiscal budget of 2024. A lot of people, within their rights, a lot of people are worked up over that number. But just in clarification, please never find me to be one that defends Secretary of State's office or Brian Kemp's office, but this is the new 2025 fiscal budget. They took about $23,000 out of last year's budget. That would be, you know, where we could use for investigators to have, you know, enough money in the budget for incidentals, to go a little further on an investigation or whatever the case may be. So in general, they did. They took $23,923 out of the budget. It's no longer there. This is the first year that the Georgia State Board of Elections you know, this is the first year the Georgia State Board of Elections has had a budget to where they could hire investigators going into this election. So that got a lot of play this weekend, as far as a lot of people are worked up that this money has been reduced out of the budget. Now, there's another side of this, and I think we have to pause for some developments. State budgets are released. You know, you release it over a period of year, and they have not had all of their budget released to them to operate. So,
Brian, let me interrupt there. So this is in a state where you got $500,000, you know, 20 grand isn't going to make a difference one way or the other, but you're in a state where you got $500,000 to investigate probably one of the most critical states for election fraud in the country. And what was their surplus recently? 16 billion or some crap like that?
Well, Now, Todd, you're always welcome. You and I don't go back and forth, but we have these great discussions. You're hitting it right on the head. The other day, when this broke out, yeah, I retweeted and I said, "Hey, we're sitting on a surplus, a mountain of money in this state." You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Factually, this is what's going on, but they should be packing in. All right, so let's go here. Where are the state legislators that are going to the podium or calling a press conference and saying, "Hey, we need to up the budget or push some more money in it"? You don't see it here in Georgia. So you're 100% right.
Well, also you've got Chris Carr, the AG, coming out saying, "Oh, sorry, you've referred this Fulton case to me, but I'm not able to take this up and investigate it." And it's in the face of the need for an investigation, perhaps it seems notable that, you know, now there's less resource from the state election board themselves to push that issue.
Well, you know, I know what we think of many of our we call them friends on the state election board, and Dr. Janice Johnston, and, you know, and Janelle King. They are really working hard. But the state election board of Georgia, I got to break it to your viewers, it is just a function to make the people feel good, and it's virtually powerless. When the Secretary of State's office wants to deem it powerless, they can. When the Attorney General wants to deem it powerless, he can. And when the governor. So let me just say this. We have, the whole entire country knows it as the Rossi, Joe Rossi, Kevin Moncla case. They voted not to reopen the case because, as you know, it was never closed. But they voted to send it over to the AG's office for an investigation. And just to paraphrase, Chris Carr says, "Hey, you can send anything you want over, but you can't dictate to us to investigate anything, and we're not going to do it." So everybody was all excited. Myself, I'm all excited it got sent over to the AG's office. Chris Carr says it's not going anywhere. So where's the power? Yeah. Let me tell you, can I tell you the top story to me? There's a couple stories, obviously, in Georgia. But the top story to me that everybody's glossing over? Here's the top story. The corruption was uncovered, and I'm using the word corruption, by Dr. Janice Johnston, of the backroom deal with Ryan Germany to be the Fulton County monitor. All right. That was uncovered. It was shut down. I don't hear a lot of people talking about Ryan Germany. Fulton County just gave him $100,000 open contract to be the Fulton County monitor for 2024. Now, we know Ryan Germany, that's the former Secretary of State Chief Counsel. Now, on top of that,
he was the guy blocking and tackling for Brad Raffensperger at the Spy Museum up in D.C. when Bill and I were there.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, let me just say this. The State Election Board said no. They said tough luck. Now, who does he have on his team? Who does he have? He has Carter Jones. Who is Carter Jones? Carter Jones, Seven Hill Strategies. You know who Seven Hill Strategies is?
They were the election monitors for the 2020 election in Fulton County. And you can't make this up. So Ryan Germany, Secretary of State's office, got the contract. It was voted on the other day, and I want to thank Julie Adams. She's the lone person that voted no. The Carter Center. So Fulton County, and that's what I'm saying, the State Election Board, they said no to this. They said absolutely not. Fulton County pressed forward. They said State Election Board does not have the power to tell them who can monitor their election. So today, as we sit here, Ryan Germany, Carter Jones from Seven Hill Strategies. You remember what Carter Hill Jones said? He said they were sloppy and chaotic, but there was no evidence of fraud. You know, the whole Fulton County thing was in 2020. It was sloppy and chaotic, but, you know, we spent hours and several months observing the county election. No fraud. These are the people that are monitoring 2024. And, I want to give a shout out to Jason Frazier and Earl Ferguson for filing the federal suit on Fulton County not maintaining the voter rolls. But you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying here? I love the State Election Board. I love who's on there right now. I know the one Democrat, it's pushed back. Look at the rules. We passed some rules. Immediately, we've got ethics complaints, and immediately we've got a lawsuit by Democrats, you know, with Mark Elias's name hidden in there. They're pushing back. And who pushed back? Who said that we shouldn't be doing this? Brad Raffensperger. He said our rules were misguided. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? We passed the State Election Board, and I want to keep reiterating, I love these.
Well, we have the cleanest voter rolls in the country, according to Mr. Raffensperger.
The safest elections in the world, quote world, came from Gabriel Sterling.
Oh goodness.
So Gabriel Sterling said we got the safest in the world. And all I'm saying about everyone across the country, because there's a lot of people that they dial in and they don't stay dialed in long enough to hear the facts. The State Election Board, for your viewers, the State Election Board in Georgia has some amazing people on there. We have a terrible chairman carrying the water. I can't pronounce his last name.
Verveer.
Yeah, he's a terrible chairman carrying the water for Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp, and then we have the Democrat on there. The other three are doing a great job, but here's three things. We passed some amazing rules that are critical. They're not good. They're critical for the upcoming election that we needed. Our Secretary of State said they were misguided. Our Cody Hall, Brian Kemp's mouthpiece, tweeted out, you know, we're in the middle of an election cycle. We get pushback from our own people, the rules. Second, the Moncla case and the Joe Rossi case. Attorney General Chris Carr comes out and said, hey, you could send it over here all day. I'm not doing it. And then Fulton County, we're supposed to have a monitor there. It was supposed to be agreed on. The monitor for Fulton County for 2024 was supposed to be agreed on by Secretary of State's office, the Election Board, and Fulton County. Secretary of State's office said yes to Ryan Germany. Why wouldn't they? Former chief counsel. Fulton County voted him in. They said the heck with the State Election Board. I would like to ask Brian Kemp right now, I would like to ask my state senator and state representative, you should ask yours, can you really stand up and tell us that you will support and back the State Election Board? And it's not just something we're, you know, spinning the wheels trying to make people happy that has no power. They're powerless. Yeah.
Brian, while we've got you today, I also have to ask your thoughts on where we are with the Kamala campaign. I know you did a ton of work looking into her infamous, you know, first ever interview. And during this week, we've seen these astounding things come out where it appears that even some of the folks that you would anticipate would be supporters of her seem to be, you know, breaking rank. I've got a short clip from Newsom here where he throws her under the bus with regard to the ascendancy as I think you've termed it, of her becoming now the focus of the campaign.
Well, it's different.
How are you feeling about the switch?
I mean, the switch. Now, we went through a very open process and a very inclusive process. It was bottom up. I don't know if you know that. Yes, that's what I've been told to say.
Yes, it was a blitz primary, I believe is what they called it.
It's a very, very fast blitz. Yes. I think it was a blink primary, so we call that. Yeah.
I think the blitz primary is my favorite adjective on this. What do you think? What do you see might be coming next here when you see that kind of behavior with regard to the...
It's not just them. It's CNN. It's all legacy networks are beating her up. So why is that?
Well, you know, first of all, the everything has been set up. We know that. We know it was all set up from the convention to her first interview, CNN, when it took place. It took place on Thursday. Folks, I live in the... We stay out of town on this weekend because we call it the parade. The boats and the campers are, you know, headed out of the campsites and they're getting them out of the lake and everything like that. I'm not going to say no one, but the general public probably never paid attention to that interview. That's the reason it was set up. Everything was set up in Georgia for a reason. And I'll tell you this, they're really hurting with black voters, and we know that the black voters, 32 in the 2020 census, 32.3% African Americans in Georgia. It should have been our major focus in campaigning, and with the Georgia GOP Inc. and anyone else, that should have been one of our top focuses this year. Is African Americans. They're trying to replicate Obama. South Georgia has a large black vote. It is very red Republican, but that is the majority of that are white voters, obviously, in South Georgia, and a large number of the black voters in Savannah, Macon, Columbus. Down in South Georgia, that's what they're trying to replicate down there. They went to Savannah on purpose. It's reality. They did have between 6,000 to 7,000 people there the other day. It was on CNN. You know, some people said, "Well, this is a long shot," but it's not. I'm in Georgia. Most people of my generation and older remember that CNN still has that. It's from Georgia. I mean, CNN came from Georgia, started in Georgia. CNN has almost all the airports in the United States. If you've got a layover, they've done a job on that. Most of the school institutions in the United States and large black viewership. If you look at the CNN viewership, it's pretty large in Georgia. So there's no coincidence on why CNN got the interview. It was done in Georgia, done in South Georgia, and what they're saying about there, it's not a coincidence that Dana Bash looks at her and says, "Donald Trump said that you have turned black." That's not a coincidence that that question came up while in Georgia, while on CNN, and while she's campaigning in South Georgia.
Sure.
So all of that was structured, put together, and you know, there's not another interview. That's not an interview. It wasn't a real interview.
This is the basement. Somebody said, you know, stuck in the basement. She's stuck on the bus. That's the
right. You know, this wasn't an interview.
Yeah.
Trump did three interviews yesterday. He does four or five a day. Now I will tell you this.
We got about 2 minutes, by the way, Brian. You wanted to make sure that I gave you a heads up.
Well, I want to say this. RFK and Tulsi Gabbard, don't forget, I smell third party. I smell third party coming. I really do. I know Trump is running on the Republican ticket right now. I get it. I get it loud and clear. But trust me, RFK and Tulsi Gabbard you know, General Flynn was a Democrat. Some of these people that are on board with Trump's campaign, The Republican ruling class are not happy with this. You don't see them out. You don't see them out highlighting it.
Next cycle, but obviously they don't have time before November 5th.
Right.
But you're quite possible.
I think that may be our next discussion in the coming days, BKP.
Yeah. Yeah.
The organized cartels. The cartels are organized. The general's correct. I know he's talking about the Chinese, but the cartels are organized all over the United States. They are right here where I'm at. They're organized. They bring these people in. They get them across the border. They get them in your neighborhood, and then they have to work to pay them back. It is organized, the cartels all across this country. And law enforcement, I want to give a shout out to law enforcement. I personally think outside of some metro areas, all of our law enforcement are on our side. And I have to say this, I think they're in a position where they don't know what to do. They don't want to scare all of their citizens. They don't want to scare the people in their communities. They don't have the support. Law enforcement knows the failure of the border. They know. I talk to law enforcement. They know the failure of the border. So I don't know that they're hiding it. I want to be nice about it. I don't know that they're, I think our law enforcement is really in a terrible position in this country of not having, trying to handle it, not knowing who they can work with, and not trying to scare
These wealthy communities think that they're going to skate by this and just, you
exactly.
know, put their gate guards up, it ain't happening. They're the target, because exactly. that's where the yeah. money is. You know, in we have a paper in Connecticut, and the editor of the Connecticut Sentinel told me in Tony, Westport, Connecticut, you know, maybe 25,000 people, the Beverly Hills of the East Coast, there's a dozen home invasions a month right
oh,
now.
Oh, absolutely.
That they're not yeah. telling people. So.
Oh, no, it's happening. Forsyth County, I was in a conversation with law enforcement the other, Forsyth County, these big several hundred housing communities, they're targeting these communities, and they're not totally reporting all of them. I'll just say that. I don't mm-hmm. want to put anybody out there.
We will have you back, I am sure, soon, BKP. Thank you for being with us today, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Take all care. Right.
Any last-minute thoughts?
Yeah, just let me say, CDMfood.com, we're big on resilience. We're going to keep pushing this. This growing season is over, but not indoors. You need to be prepared for what's happening to protect your family. It's not just growing tomatoes. It's a lot of other things. Start with going to CDMfood.com and checking out Marjorie Wildcraft and everything she has to offer. With that, Bill, that's all I got. Well, I guess we're back Wednesday at 7, right?
Well, we will have a special showing of an interview that I did with Marley Hornick from United Sovereign Americans and some of the work that they are doing both here in Georgia and around the country. We had originally planned on an excerpt showing today of that interview, but given the discoveries in Aurora and the potentials for Georgia, we ended up having to change the production. So we will be airing that in the next 2 days. If you will watch Georgia Record, we'll have that announced on Georgia Record. You'll be astounded and I think pleased with the progress that Marley Hornick and her organization have and are making, some of it on our behalf right here in Georgia. So
I think I'm going to get a sign made. It's about the election, stupid.
But it's not just another 4-year election.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Take us out, please.
All right.